And it begins in Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. But on that first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women who had come were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But those men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you that while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to the apostles an idle tale, and they did not believe them. I'm going to skip down to verse 13 because verse 12 is not in the oldest manuscripts. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked him, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group had astounded us this morning. They were at the tomb early, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of them who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he talked with them about the things of the Messiah that had been written in Scripture. And as they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when they were at table together, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. On Easter Sunday, we often talk about the resurrection. This is one of the most challenging days for pastors because they've got to interpret a symbol that is deep and, I would say, multivocal. It's one of the deepest and richest symbols of the Christian tradition, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does it mean? And I often hear people ask me, "Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you really believe that?" And my answer is often, "Well, if you looked around and saw what I saw every now and then and at my best, if you looked around and saw what I saw, you would know why I believe that Christ is not dead, but is very much alive." Now, if you pressed it, I would probably say we probably need to talk a little bit about the phrase "the resurrection of Jesus" and also the phrase "the resurrection of Jesus Christ," and how those might be different from one another. And if you pressed it a little more, I'd probably want to talk about the difference between faith as a propositional belief and faith as trust or credo. Or if you pressed it a little bit more, I'd probably want to talk about the difference between signifiers and signs and symbols, and all those things would take us far afield, and I'm not going to go there at all today. And you're heaving right now a sigh of relief. Thank you, Jesus. You are alive. I really don't want to talk about that today, because what I want to share is something very simple, and it comes out of this Emmaus story. That Christ is not dead, but that Christ is very much alive, and that that makes a tremendous difference in our lives. In this Emmaus story, there's something very interesting that happens, and to understand the Emmaus story in Luke, you have to go back to an earlier passage in Luke where Jesus is eating once again with disciples. Right, they had gathered for a Passover meal, and Jesus took bread and broke it. He blessed it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, it is for you. Do this, break the bread in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, and taking it, gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my life. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, we will bear much fruit together. Take this in remembrance of me. I will not drink it new with you until I drink it in the kingdom." So we have the meal. We have the execution of Christ. We have the burial and resurrection. And then we have the meal. That's good. What's the difference between the first meal and the second meal? That's the question that Luke's asking. What's the difference between the first meal and the second meal? In the first meal, Jesus is saying, "I will not drink it with you until I drink it in the kingdom." And they're all saying, "When's the kingdom? When's the kingdom? When's the kingdom?" And in the second meal, Jesus pours the wine, passes it around, breaks the bread. They drink. They recognize the kingdom for just a second, and then he vanishes. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. I think that's wonderful. And what's great about the Emmaus story, too, is, right, they're talking with the stranger along the way. Make meaning of this yourself in your own way. They're talking with a stranger along the way about the events that have happened in Jerusalem. They don't recognize this stranger as being different from anybody else. And they're walking along the way, and the stranger is talking about the Hebrew scriptures in a way they haven't heard before, igniting their ideas and thoughts in different sorts of ways. And then they get to the house, and the stranger's about to pass on. He would have just kept on walking by. But they took a little bit of initiative, and they said, "Why don't you come in and dine with us?" And because of that initiative that they took, that the stranger came and was had a place at their table, all of a sudden there's a breaking of bread and a sharing of vine, in which there's a recognition that Christ is alive, even if it's for a split second, and then he vanishes. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. "I will not drink it new with you until I drink it in the kingdom." And where's the kingdom? It's at table as we recognize Christ in the presence of one another, in the presence of the stranger, in the place we least expect to recognize him. There he is, living among us. The resurrection, like I said, is perhaps one of the greatest multivocal symbols in human history. It's certainly in Christianity the most important one. The resurrection has so many meanings, and we could talk about it for a long, long time. And Joan Novak and the people who've been studying the Challenge for Jesus class have been talking about these symbols for weeks in that Bible study. The meanings that the just are somehow and in some way always vindicated in the end. That's certainly one of the meanings of the resurrection. That victory over the powers has already been won, and that we are simply coming to know it more and more every day. That's certainly one of the messages of the resurrection. That life always triumphs over death. That's one of the meanings of the resurrection. That there is a being in God beyond our being in this world. And that being is richer and greater than anything we can yet know. That's certainly one of the meanings of the resurrection. That there is a yet to be discovered among us in your life and in my life and in our life together that is exciting and generative and opens up new things for us, new ideas and new missions and ministries that we weren't aware of before. That's certainly one of the meanings of the resurrection, that we have only begun to understand the peace that God intends for us. That's one of the meanings of the resurrection, that we are living in a world of seeds planted and of abundance on the way, that we are living in a world of abundance and not in a world of scarcity. That's certainly one of the meanings of the resurrection, that we have enough and that there is no need to fear. Jesus' first words to the apostles, certainly on the way, was a word that every person who was living in Palestine in that world would have said to people they met on the way, shalom. But now with new meaning, right? Shalom. Peace be with you. That there are new beginnings, always, always new beginnings in the middle of our chaos and despair. That's one, certainly one of the meanings of the resurrection. But today, I just want to focus on this one meaning of the resurrection, this little Emmaus story, and then I'll be done. I'm not going to talk very long, but it's this. If we have eyes to see, and if we have ears to hear, that we will discover that Christ is sitting at table right here among us. That's one of the meanings of the resurrection. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, that Christ is sitting at table right here among us. When I look around this congregation, I see the living Christ. I see Christ weeping at the tomb of Lazarus, making meals for people who are in grief, taking them to their doctor's appointments, sitting with them at the moments of their death. I see Christ working the soil, turning it over with strangers and turning strangers into friends, building community where community didn't exist before in Sixth Street Gardens and gardens over in Granville. I see Christ teaching peace and working it out, wise as serpents and gentle as doves, in schoolrooms and in boardrooms, in hospital rooms. I see Christ advocating for the innocent on death row. I see Christ calling for dignity for all God's people in marches and rallies and show-ups and sit-ins and petition drives. I see Christ right here in this room. I see Christ giving meaningful work to unemployed people and underemployed people and energizing people to get out of their comfort zones and build the community and connection that is the kingdom available to us already right now. Christ right here among us. I see Christ writing letters to legislators and getting unnecessary weapons of destruction off our streets. I see Christ crying over the destruction of God's creation and mobilizing people to work together to make sure God's beautiful earth is kept in working order for generations to come. I see Christ reaching out to kids who don't have a safe home to go to at the end of the day. I see Christ gathering up children and guiding them in the ways of peace, introducing them to people who have been champions of peace and helping them walk that way. I see Christ everywhere I look when I look around this place. Do you see the living Christ? If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we recognize that Christ is already right here, living among us. And so it takes a little bit of initiative to invite Christ into our homes, to break bread together, and in that breaking of bread, to see Christ. But it's in that initiative that we grow the faith within us that will bear much fruit. Christ is risen. The seed has been planted, but it is rising, and death has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory. And all is well. That's the message of Easter. As we take communion today, I encourage you to take communion remembering that Christ is here in the breaking of bread. As you take this cup and as you take this bread, open your eyes and open your hearts to that spiritual plow that wants to break the ground open, the spiritual ground open, so that the seed can grow and flourish, and that we can see in this community here the kind of life that Christ has intended for the whole world. Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we thank you that you have planted a precious seed, but that out of that precious seed grows a great tree, Christ the tree, with many branches, breaking off in many different directions. A beautiful new creation that you intend for our good and for the world's resurrection. Help us to see it again today. Open our eyes, O God, that we may see and ears to hear, that we may be the living Christ in this place and this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to remain seated, and as a preparation for communion, let's sing together the hymn that's in your bulletin, O Blessed Spring.